Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Still here with me in studio are Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman, Emer Higgins, who's Fine Gael Junior Minister for Business, Employment and Retail, and Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West. Now, I'm going to turn to some of the big decisions the incoming government will have to make in terms of energy and infrastructure. We heard about planning as it relates to asylum accommodation just before the break. And I'm joined on the line by Gavin Lawler, President of the Irish Planning Institute. Everybody in studio there will have to pop on the headphones if you want to hear what Gavin has to say. Good afternoon, Gavin.
Good afternoon, Colm.
Let's start with what might be on the minds of most people this weekend, and that's Dublin Airport and people coming home. Can you remind us what the primary issues are there and what decisions might be made one way or another in the early days of the next government?
I suppose there's two key issues. One is around the use of the airport at night time and the issue of nighttime noise for residents surrounding the airport. And the second issue and related issue is in relation to the growth of the airport and the passenger cap that exists from the Terminal 2 planning permission back in 2007.
And in terms of the cap, at the moment that decision lies with Fingal County Council. There's been a lot of lobbying and, I suppose, megaphone diplomacy over the whole thing. But that's where it rests. That's where the decision will be made, is it?
Well, there's two aspects to this. Back some time ago, about 2017, 2018, the European Union brought in a regulation called FER Regulation 598 that was imposed to prevent states or state bodies from limiting airports because of the effect it was having on the European network. And they brought in a concept of what's called balanced approach. And so you have the airports challenging the current cap or the airlines. Sorry, I should say the airlines challenging the current cap that's there of 32 million passengers, saying it's non-compliant with that regulation. That's now being referred to the European courts for determination. And separately, you have DAA seeking two separate planning applications, one supported by significant investment in infrastructure to go to 40 million passengers, another one very recently lodged, I think only yesterday, to increase to 36 million passengers.
All right. You have... consulted with the Dublin Airport Authority, is it on this matter?
Yes, I work for a practice called Tom Phillips and Associates, and I'm advising DAA in relation to the nighttime noise issue and the North Runway.
Okay, and the nighttime noise issue, there is the talk of expanding the use of the airport at night. Why is that important to Dublin Airport, as you argue it?
Well, very simply put, the airport with one runway was able to take off and land without restriction 110 aircraft at night time. That would be for the 8 hours between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. And the airport wants to continue at that rate, but would like to try and induce the airlines to use quieter aircraft so that they can maybe increase that number of flights at that time. Why that's important is because you have we're an hour behind Europe, and in order for flights to get away and come back and get as many return trips as possible and rebase themselves in Dublin so that you have them there again for the morning, you need to be able to return at night time, i.e. after 11 p.m. and get away before 7 a.m.
Right. You could see why people living near the airport wouldn't be reassured by the notion of a quiet aircraft.
Absolutely, but there are actually quieter aircraft being designed, being planned and even being bought. Ryanair has made a significant investment in quieter aircraft more recently, the 737, and as have Aer Lingus with the Airbus A320neo.
Okay, we're going to move on to other issues because in the incoming government's inbox, there is obviously house building, and Uisce Éireann have said that there's going to have to be significant investment before in water infrastructure before house building can be rolled out. What's your view on that?
I concur with Irish Water. I mean, we have been quite remiss in Ireland in terms of our investment in infrastructure supporting other development. Water is one issue. We have other issues in relation to roads infrastructure in Dublin. For example, the Gut Bridge, which is the bridge over the Dodder, is required to release 2,000 houses in Poolbeg. there are no plans afoot to bring that forward anytime soon. Not least the water, the Dublin Water Project, as it's known, or taking water from the Shannon, which is going to be a really significant part of making sure that sufficient water supply is there for future housing in Dublin.
Okay, and what about energy infrastructure? This is another big issue. People, it's, you know, come into sharp focus because of data centres, but not just because of that. The inability of the current grid to absorb wind-generated power is another issue of concern.
Yeah, again, an area of, another crisis. We have an energy crisis, we have a housing crisis. One would say we have an infrastructure crisis in Ireland at the moment. Airgrid have been somewhat tardy in terms of the investment that they've made, whether that's as a result of lack of investment at government level, I'm not sure. And now they have a plan, Shaping Our Future, as it's called, and it looks very carefully at what the future requirements of Ireland are. Inc. are up to 2030. It's got a plan that is rolling out as we speak, but again, there's a significant difficulty. It takes time to get through the planning process and then to construct these things.
All right, and when you say it takes time, you know, when targets are set for housing of, you know, 50,000 to 60,000 houses per year, how far is Ireland off the ability to ramp that up in any form of a speedy fashion? Do you see that target being in place by 2030, being achievable given the pace things move at the moment?
Well, I hope it would be. I mean, we've employed a housing commission. They've reported, they've given us their recommendations. It doesn't appear that those recommendations have been fully implemented yet, and we in the Institute would call for them to be. I think that's prudent. If you ask the best experts in the country to go and think through the problem, they report and give you a list of solutions, and you don't implement them. Right.
What about the new planning bill? Do you see that as solving any problems? Michael O'Flynn, the developer writing in the Irish Examiner today, says he has his doubts about how much it will solve.
I'd share his views in relation to that. It's more complex, it's more thorough, there's more opportunity for more detailed plans, etc. But we have another fundamental problem, which is, again, back to resourcing in our area of planning. We have a much more complex planning system, a more thorough system with more plans, but we have less resources.
Okay, Gavin Lawler, President of the Irish Planning Institute, thanks for joining us on that and giving us an overview of some of the issues that are of concern to you. Paul McAuliffe, to you first on that. The time frame for planning in the country is one of the issues Gavin Lawler talked about there. The number of planners to achieve the scale that the government needs to achieve. I mean, that doesn't seem like a difficult issue to solve in the first instance, but a 700-page planning bill that there are now, you know, the Planning Institute and Michael O'Flynn both expressing grave doubts about at this stage. It's not a very good signature project, in their view, for the government to have signed off on.
Well, actually, more than 800 pages. I sat through 120 hours of committee of that bill. And the reality is overhauling the entire planning process, making significant resource allocations. And that's something that has been made just in the previous year, adding new members to Mbord Pleanála and so on, are the priority of the government. It'll allow us to do housing and offshore wind and the many other infrastructure projects better. There was a lot of concern there because planning is such an unknown when people are proposing a development, that a lot of people were concerned that a new system might add to delays. But that's not an argument for not trying to reform our planning system. And I believe that the plans that we have made, the changes that we have made in the Planning Act, will make an impact. And I say particularly in terms of offshore wind, which is something that we really, really need to be ramping up in terms of electricity supply. That is something both between the Marine Area Planning Bill and the Planning Act itself will have an impact.
Eimear Higgins, there were people on the opposition benches at the time. There is Michael O'Flynn, as I say, the developer, saying we were promised the new Planning and Development Act would bring about radical and meaningful changes in our planning system. The consensus in the industry is there's very little in it that will make a positive difference and some provisions that will take us a step backwards. You heard from the Irish Planning Institute president there as well. So you're starting on the back foot at the start of the next government.
No, I don't believe so. I think we've made quite a lot of progress over the last number of years. We've brought in new laws, the Planning and Development Bill, as you've mentioned, which is the second largest bill ever introduced in Ireland. We've brought in legislation in relation to marine area planning in the context of wind energy. We've opened new planning positions in local authorities across the country, as well as in Ombord Planála. And we're working with bodies like the IPI around how we can help fill any vacancies that are still there, because there are additional 112 sanctioned roles within local authorities in the last number of months. And on top of that, we now have the revised
national
planning framework.
You can see that Gavin Lawler didn't sound impressed there, did he?
Well, listen, Gavin is, I suppose, speaking up for planners, who I'm sure he's looking to increase the attractiveness of the profession, which we absolutely do, and we need to do, and we need to do that right across the construction sector, because there's an awful lot of different construction workers that we need more of in order to help us solve the housing crisis. We need to look at retention, we need to look at training, absolutely. But what I'm talking about here are tangibles: budgets, laws, policies, and what's going to be an actually legislative basis national planning framework when it goes to government and is passed by the Oireachtas in the next couple of, hopefully in the next couple of weeks or months. They're tangibles that are making a big difference in the planning area.
Okay, what's your reaction to that criticism of where the planning system is at the moment, Roger Gorman?
I used to teach planning law, and it was across, you know, tens of different pieces of legislation. So this government, the outgoing government, has consolidated that into one act. It has shortens the processes so people can get decisions more clearly. But it is also important that we do still give local authorities the scope and the resources to put in place those detailed plans. Maybe some of the big developers don't like that, but myself, Paul and Emer, we all represent urban constituencies where people living in new areas say, we want to make sure the houses are there, but that the schools are there, that public transport are in place, that there are, you know, pedestrian crossings so our kids can walk and cycle to school. And that is dependent on strong planning guidelines being issued by local authorities.
Yeah, but you say this even as we were talking before the break, that you're prepared to go ahead with unauthorised developments where they don't suit your purposes.
What I'm talking, well, just hold on, those are two very different elements. We're dealing with a crisis where people were a sleeping rough on our streets, and we've responded to that. We've sought to do it within existing planning law. Some elements of what we did aren't there, and we'll respond to that. But if we're talking
about housing is a crisis as well.
It absolutely is, and one of the reasons why the planning legislation was changed was to allow decisions on the grant of planning permission for major developments be done in a more speedy fashion, and I believe that will be done. The legislation is just applying, is just recently passed. We're going to start to see planning applications come in on the basis of it, and that's when we'll be able to cast a judgment in terms of whether this new act is delivering more quickly, particularly in terms of housing.
On the issue, sorry, I'll come back to you in a second, Eamonn Higgins, but on the issue of Dublin Airport, Paul McAuliffe, more flights by night and the lifting of the passenger cap, do you support that?
Look, I think Dublin Airport is a strategic piece of infrastructure. I think one of the strongest messages I got on the doors from my constituents was that they wanted the cap removed, that was something that they felt could limit our economic potential. It is frustrating for many people in politics where there is an emerging consensus that the cap should be removed, but we have the planning system which doesn't allow government to intervene. And many people are saying, why can't the government just intervene on it? And so, look, I would support an increased capacity at Dublin Airport, and the noise at night is an issue, and we have to have remediating factors there. But overall, the strength of our economy is something that has funded all the public services that we've talked about today, and the airport is a crucial part of that.
All right, although it has to be said, there are people obviously in the area who do object to the noise, who do have environmental concerns, and who aren't in favour of that, or who are in favour of
and
that
we capital. Need to put in place remediating factors for those people.
Eamonn Higgins, just one of the issues at this Christmas is also, of course, transport. On the issue of the Holyhead ferry terminal, there's been statutory instruments signed in where the truck drivers can drive for longer here in order to mitigate the effects of that. But in terms of reopening Holyhead and maybe pushing forward with the UK government to try and get concessions for hauliers there as well, have you any news on that?
Well, I suppose our Taoiseach met with counterparts in the UK yesterday, had a meeting, I think, by telephone, and there is progress happening. I mean, ultimately, the UK wants Holyhead open as much as we do too. The latest date I think I had was the 15th of January. We're obviously all very hopeful it can happen before then. There's a lot of work going in to make it happen. But I think what's been really worked very well is a lot of the contingency measures and contingency routes that have been announced. And it's been really good that people can actually transfer from one route to another free of charge, but that there's been additional routes from a freight perspective.
But no revision of the 15th of January reopening date at this stage?
That's my understanding.
I spoke with Mr. James Lawless this morning on it, and I know him and the Welsh government have been working very closely on it. They believe that they can displace or find alternative routes to particularly Pembroke and Fishguard for some of the stock that is held in Holyhead, and that will alleviate some of the backlog that's there. And I think as well we have additional capacity that's there, both in terms of air and alternative routes. So I think there's more cautious optimism than there was maybe earlier in the week.
The customs stuff has been very positive too. Yeah. The fact that there's no backlog now from a customs perspective there too.
All right, that's all we have time for today. My thanks to all our panellists who joined us in here in studio, and indeed for you listening at home for listening today and throughout the year. We'll be back to you on January 4th. So until then, Nollaig Hunna.